For the reading and preaching of the Word of God to the Gospel of Luke. This morning we will be in chapter 2 of the Gospel of Luke, verses 1 through 20. So let us hear the reading of God's holy, inerrant, inspired Word. It is indeed, thus saith the Lord. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Now it came about in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." And it came about, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby, as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that had been for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. So the title of the message this morning is simply this: The Virgin Birth of Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the biblical historical record or account of the Lord Jesus being born of the Virgin Mary. So far this month, we have heard and been reminded that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And in order for that to happen, God had to prepare Mary, sent the angel Gabriel to her to announce to her what was going to happen and explain it to her. And reminded her, and this is what convinced her, since she was a virgin, the angel said to her, "Nothing will be impossible with God." And so Mary submitted her will to the will of the Father and conceived as a virgin, and later in this account gave birth as a virgin to the Son of the living God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, she was already at that time of conception, she was engaged to Joseph. And so God had to prepare him as well. We heard about that last week and how the Lord did that by sending an angel to him in a dream and explaining to him that he should not be afraid to take Mary as his wife, for that which she had conceived was of the Holy Spirit. And the angel went on to tell Joseph that you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Another reminder that salvation is of the Lord. And it's he who chooses us, predestines us, works in us by his grace and Holy Spirit to cause us to be born again. We don't do any of that ourselves. We are not able to. The Lord accomplishes on our behalf what we cannot accomplish for ourselves, the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. In fact, he gives that to us as a gift. Even saving faith is a gift. Saving faith is the faith that believes in Jesus and trusts in him alone, his life, death, shed blood, and resurrection, for the forgiveness of our sins and life everlasting. Nothing else gets the job done. And he even gives the faith that saves us by trusting in him. He gives that to us as well. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And even our Lord made the statement that he is the way, the truth, the life, but no one comes to the Father but by him. There's only one way for us to be saved, only one way for us to have our sins forgiven, only one way for us to have eternal life, and that's by believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he came into the world, to save sinners, to save us who are his, and to redeem us forever. And so we read about that virgin birth in this particular section of the Bible. Now let's focus for a moment on these first seven verses. God had to sovereignly work to bring this to pass, as prophets of old had predicted it would come to pass. Isaiah predicted that there would be a virgin with child and would bear a son. Micah chapter 5 verse 2 prophesied that the birth would take place in Bethlehem. Well, Joseph and Mary were not in Bethlehem. And it was almost time for her to deliver and give birth. So God had to do something to get them from Galilee up to Bethlehem. And so he worked through the government at that point to accomplish his will. Now, as I thought about that this week, in light of all the stuff that's going on in Washington, D.C., I was reminded and convinced that all of the lies and deception and all of the maneuvering and plotting and planning and bearing false witness and all of that that's going on among our elected officials, that even that does not thwart the purpose of God. God is sovereign. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 1, chapter 11, that he works all things after the counsel of his will. We learn from Job chapter 42, nothing can thwart the purposes of God. Not even pagan government officials. And I find great joy in that Almighty God is sovereign and he's in control and he's bringing to pass his will. And that's a wonderful thing. Well, he had to work through the governing officials here to get Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem so she could give birth as Micah had prophesied that she would and that the child would be born in Bethlehem. And so he caused Caesar Augustus to put out a decree to take this census, and that people were to go and proceed to register for the census, everyone to his own city. And so that's what caused Joseph and Mary to go from Galilee to Bethlehem. Again, God sovereignly working his will for the virgin birth of his only begotten son at the very place where Micah prophesied it would take place. And so they went. And they got there. And verse 6 says, "And it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth." The time now had come. The time was right. The time was as God determined it would be. And so verse 7 says, "And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger." And I don't know, I'll use the New American Standard Translation. Some of you may have something different. But that word manger literally is translated as a feeding trough. Imagine that. Mary gave birth to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, wrapped him in clothes, and laid him in a feeding trough. A reminder to us that our Lord, as is revealed to us in Philippians chapter 2, humbled himself. He did not come into this world in the end, in the most expensive room in the inn, but he came in a very lowly, humble way and was laid in a feeding trough as a little baby. And so in that same region, there were shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And I can just only imagine what that was like. If that happened to me, I probably would be terribly frightened too. It would be unusual. This is not normal. This is not natural. This is, like the conception and birth, very supernatural. But our God is supernatural. And he has power to do all sorts of miraculous and mysterious things. And aren't we glad that he does? In fact, he is all powerful. There is nothing or no one that even comes close to being as powerful as Almighty God. I mean, just think about it. He spoke the entire universe into being. He just had to say, "Let there be light," and there was light. He created us, male and female. Oh, yeah, I know what our culture's saying. And it's a lie from the pit of hell. And we need to grasp, believe, hang on to, proclaim, and live out the biblical truth that we are male or we are female. And we need to teach, as we have, our children and grandchildren and others that biblical truth. Our culture, the people, the lost people are so confused in our day and time. And just when I think I've heard it all, I'm surprised by hearing something that I hadn't heard yet. It's amazing. The unlimited possibilities of a sinful nature. But one day our Lord's going to come again and bring an end to all that mess, and we won't have to put up with it or deal with it or try to help others see how far off base it is. But the day has not yet come. Well, our Lord does mighty, miraculous, and mysterious things. And so this angel of the Lord suddenly stood before the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. So the angel had to speak to them, and he did. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." And that's a good reminder to us. We shouldn't be afraid either. People become afraid, fear, all different kinds of things. But again, when we realize that our Heavenly Father is all-powerful, He's everywhere present, He is all-knowing, everything is happening right on His time schedule, nothing can thwart His purposes, He is sovereign over all of it. So we don't have anything to worry about. We don't have anything to be afraid of. I'm already thinking and working on and preparing a sermon for the first Sunday in January. And the first part of that, at least in my way of thinking at this point, unless the Lord changes it, but the first part of that is going to be, we've now entered into a new year, and we don't know all that's going to happen to us or with us or through us in this new year. And I'll list some things that we don't yet know about. But then thus far in my preparation, point number two is going to be, but here are some of the things that we do know. And I'm going to seek to lay some of those out that should comfort and encourage us no matter what happens in the year 2020. So we don't need to be afraid of even the unknown because our God knows all things. There's nothing that He doesn't know. I had a person come to me one time with a question, and somebody had said in the church in Winston-Salem, if you ever want to know anything, ask Bob Wilson. He knows everything. Well, they came to me and said, I hear you know everything. So I got a question for you. I said, okay, shoot, what is it? And they asked their question. But before I answered it, I said, well, let's get something straight here. I do not know everything. Only God knows everything. But I can assure you that what I don't know is on a very short list. Of course, I was just kidding them. But there's a lot I don't know. In fact, the more I know, the more I realize how little I know. That's about the way that works. But we don't have to be fearful about the things that we don't know because God knows. So that's why the angel told him, do not be afraid. And he went on to say, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. And when I read that, again, I was reminded when I came to that place of the Lord causing me to be born again at age 25, what a great joy that was. I had heard the good news. I had heard that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And even Jesus tells us in John chapter 6, verse 47, quote unquote, believe in me and you will have everlasting life. And this verse goes on to say that this good news of great joy is for all the people. And that was one of the things, the great joy that God put in my heart over the forgiveness of sins, for they were many. Great joy over the forgiveness of sins. And this will be for all the people. And I begin to think, you know, everybody in the whole wide world ought to hear this. They really should. But it took the Lord another year to convince me that I should be one of the messengers to take this good news of great joy to all the people. We sing of joy to the world, the Lord has come. And all of us who are his sons and daughters, blood-bought sons and daughters in Christ Jesus, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, all of us who are born again of his Spirit are ambassadors for Christ. He's given and entrusted to us the word, the ministry of reconciliation, this gospel, this good news, and we can tell people your sins too can be forgiven. You can be reconciled to God. You can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't buy it. You cannot earn it. You're never going to be good enough to be worthy of it. But you can receive it as a gift, the greatest gift ever given, the gift of eternal life in Christ. And what a joy it is to know that truth. And to be set free from all of the finagling of the devil himself to try to persuade us otherwise. Good news of a great joy. And it's for all the people. And that passage again in the book of Revelation tells us that when Christ comes again and the new heavens and the new earth are established, there will be all of his people gathered around his throne, singing and shouting salvation to our God. And there will be people there from every tongue and tribe and nation on the face of the earth. And it will be a multitude that no one can count. I once heard a preacher say, you know, when we get to heaven, when we really do, we're probably going to be surprised when we look around at some of the people we see there. And we may even look around and be surprised of others that we don't see. But I can tell you this, based on the Word of God, we can know for sure about ourselves. Other people can fool us, pull the wool over our eyes. And it's hard for people to pull the wool over my eyes, but I'll confess there have been some that have. They really have. But we can know about ourselves. That's the whole point. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God in order that you may know that you have eternal life. And it's my hope that every one of you in this place today, right now, at this very moment, knows for sure that you have eternal life in Christ. And if you die before dark today, you would be absent from the body and present with the Lord. I don't know of any better news of great joy than that. Well, he goes on to say, and here's why it's good news of a great joy. Verse 11, for today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And the greatest need of any sinner is to have a Savior. And there's only one of those, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on and says, and this will be a sign for you, and you shall find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger in that feeding trough. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. More gloriousness for these shepherds. And it came about that when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Boy, what the angel had said to them and the multitude that appeared to them really aroused their curiosity. We need to go to Bethlehem. We need to go to that place. We need to see what we've heard and what we've been told. This is a marvelous, miraculous, mysterious event. Nothing like it before nor after. And so they came in haste. They couldn't get there quick enough. Let's get on with it. Let's get there. Came in haste, found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the feeding trough. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about the child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. They're all just kind of amazed. Now notice verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. I can't help but imagine that Mary went all the way back to that meeting with Gabriel when he announced to her what God was going to do in her life. And now he has brought it to pass. There's this song we hear at Christmas. I've heard it a number of times already on the radio, and you probably hear it too. And the title of it is, Mary, Do You Know? And then it raises, do you know this about your child? Do you know this? Do you know this? Do you know this? Do you know this? And I want to holler back at them just as loud as I can and say, yes, she knows. Because Gabriel told her about it and explained it to her. And now she's just pondering all of these things in her heart. And no doubt she is very joyful, very thankful that she as a virgin has given birth to the Son of the living God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is indeed Emmanuel, God with us, to save us. And then the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. They could not keep this to themselves. And I say, nor should we. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, again we bow before you to give thanks to you for the way you sovereignly worked even from before the foundation of the world to save us sinners who are your chosen people. You never gave up on your purpose. And you kept working generation after generation after generation after generation, even through pagan, sinful people, to bring to pass your purpose in the virgin conception and birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then you didn't stop there. You had to orchestrate through the government to get Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem. And then even after the birth, you didn't stop there. You haven't stopped yet. For you, O Lord, are still saving your people from their sins, even as you revealed to Joseph that you would. How thankful, O Lord, we are that you saved us. We pray for family members and friends who don't at this point at least evidence to us that they've been born again of your Spirit. They live in such a way that is not pleasing in your sight. And we ask you again today to cause them to be born again, even as you have caused that to happen in our lives. To change those lives by the person and power of your Holy Spirit, even as you did our own, so that they too will die more and more into sin and live more and more unto righteousness, even as you have caused that to happen in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, that you're not finished with us yet. You've promised to bring to completion what you've begun in us. And we know one day you will. And for that, we too give you thanks and praise and honor and glory. And all of these things we ask and pray in Jesus' name, amen. Closing hymn this morning is